Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District. I mean beautiful. Joe, you're very lucky to have that beautiful district, and they're lucky to have you. So my first question is this. There was a meeting in the White House Oval Office the other day, and the military option was raised. You know, a putsch, a coup, something I've always said was possible with this guy. What do you make of all of that? Could it happen?
So there was a meeting, and there was, again, this is all kind of secondhand reporting, but General Flynn, who's back in the picture after getting a pardon from his case where he pleaded guilty to lying, you know, back in 2017, was, again, this guy served, it was at least a 2-star, if not a 3-star general, served in the Middle East. Was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency under President Obama, left under a cloud because of, you know, some real problems there that military leadership had with him. He raised the question of basically using Declaration of Martial Law as a way of doing a revote in swing states. I mean, no one's talking about doing a martial law vote in states which were close for Trump. It's only obviously in states where Trump lost, in swing states. And again, some of the reporting is that people in the room pushed back, who were advisors to the president. But I have to say, I mean, one encouraging response came from Ryan McCarthy, who's the Secretary of the Army, and General McConville, James McConville, who is in charge of basically, you know, U.S. forces in the homeland, who both flatly and totally indicated that they will not get involved in any election dispute. You know that there's courts for that and there's Congress for that, but they are not going to get involved with that. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley, who is an Army guy as well, also, you know, has been on record numerous times saying, we, you know, the U.S. military is not going to get in the middle of an election dispute. So, you know, we are seeing some, I think, you know, pretty impressive pushback from career military leaders. And obviously, the whole idea is a complete outrage.
So the thought that this could not happen is pretty secure based on what people are saying right now. My sense of it is, for whatever it's worth, Joe, you're the interviewee, is that this guy, Trump, has no bottom whatsoever and will do anything he has to because his future, once he's not president anymore, doesn't look too clear for him.
No, and I'm just kind of sharing the response of the people that he's expecting to execute some kind of order, and I think really they realize that their credibility and the credibility of you know, the military, it would be really jeopardized, you know, by even considering the notion that our military forces would be used to prop him up. Having said that, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you know, looking at the pardons that he just issued, you know, the threats to veto the defense bill, which, you know, includes military pay. There really is no boundaries, no guardrails. And he has pretty much seen even William Barr, you know, head for the exits, as well as a whole, you know, slew of other folks. So he really has a pretty weak, fawning group of quote unquote advisors around him. And you know, that obviously is going to make the next 30 days or so, you know, quite precarious.
Okay, so how come Joe Biden won? In other words, Trump got 73 million votes, but how come Biden won? What was it that created this impetus to elect a Democratic president and a lot of other Republicans in this country, including in your house?
So, you know, I've been sort of reading some of the comments where people are just shocked that, you know, a lackluster candidate like Joe Biden, you know, could have possibly outpolled by 7 million votes President Trump. And I think, you know, people who, you know, make those comments really should go back and look again at the results of the 2018 election, as well as the primaries leading up to November 3rd of this year. And again, 2018, biggest voter turnout for a midterm election since 1914. Primaries that you know, turnout just crushed records in the past. I mean, even in states like Connecticut, when, you know, by the time we had our primary, you know, it was a done deal for both Trump and Biden, and still people were voting in record numbers. So the record turnout that took place in November 3rd of this year, again, biggest turnout since 1906, I think, was some of the reporting that I've seen from, you know, those people who track that sort of thing. And I believe it, and the numbers sort of show it. That's really, it's all very consistent going back to 2018. This country has been hyper-politicized. I mean, you know, to the point of exhaustion for most people. And I think that the focus was, you know, number one, two, and number three was on the White House. You know, you look at, you know, districts where, you know, Biden won and Democrats lost, which there definitely were those, particularly in the House. You know, I think it shows that, you know, there was this sort of independence, Republican-leaning independence in Republicans who, again, had it with this guy and saw Biden as an acceptable, you know, safety valve choice, but still hadn't completely, you know, left the party or left the party's, you know, sort of DNA. And so, you know, again, some very good people lost their seats in the House from the House Democratic majority of 2018. And again, purple parts of the country, again, they benefited from the fact that Trump was not on the ballot in 2018. And but once Trump was on the ballot in 2020, you know, they were fighting in a much stronger headwind in terms of holding on to their seat. So someone like Kendra Horn in Oklahoma, who I just have to tell you, Alan, she's not somebody that you see on the front pages. No. One of the most outstanding members, and a seat in Oklahoma as a Democrat in 2018. I mean, it's just, you know, she is just an amazing person. She couldn't overcome, you know, the Trump onslaught that took place with him on the ballot. So that's really how I sort of distinguish it.
So let me ask you a question, Joe Courtney. You know, as a political scientist, as somebody who taught this stuff for all of these years, I got to tell you, it's very disheartening to see what Trump has done. I think he's brought us closer to fascism and totalitarianism than any person in history. And it's really quite sad. So I want to ask you, following up on my assertion, What kind of damage do you think, permanent damage, this president is doing with these wild claims of having won when he lost?
So, again, he has totally operated outside of any norms going back to the founding of this country. You know, his disrespect for, you know, a free press, independent judiciary. I mean, you know, these are really the hallmarks of an autocrat. And, you know, I will say that, in my opinion, the court system held up pretty well, you know, during this post-election crisis. I mean, over 50 cases, unanimous decisions twice out of the U.S. Supreme Court rejecting their nonsense. You know, in an autocratic country, you know, like Hungary, let's say, or, you know, other parts of the world that are starting to shift from democracy to autocracy, the court system usually is the you know, the pillar that gets sabotaged by leaders the most. So having said that, I don't want to, you know, gild the lily too much here, because he has loaded up the court system in terms of, you know, Federalist Society zealots who are going to really, I think, still be a major problem moving forward. But in terms of, you know, taking that final step towards, you know, really just, you know, adjudicating cases on the basis of what's good for one person, you got to say, I mean, there were some pretty impressive decisions made by even his most recent appointees that just were scathing. And I'm encouraged by that.
Joe, we are unfortunately out of time on this segment of our conversation. We have one more to go, and I hope when we do it, I can ask you some even more provocative questions. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Look forward to
Joe Courtney.